of the Lord, dear brothers and sisters, starting from this hour forward, we have in our discussion with our beloved brethren, we're going to talk about a subject, days of judgment. And when we talk about judgment, of course, we are thinking either to a sentence, final sentence, or to a process through which a final sentence is reached. But this idea, what we are going to talk about, judgment, contains both aspects. Also, when we talk about judgment, we are thinking, of course, we are analyzing the scriptures here, and in the Bible we find that there are many examples to many kind of judgments, different kinds of judgment, and we will talk about many of them as time will permit, and we'll try to analyze as many as we can in our time. So when we talk about days of judgment, this word day or days, it might have different lengths. A day of judgment or days of judgment. There is the day of 24 hours. We are all living in a 24-hour day period. Then we have the day of vengeance or the day of wrath, which is longer. It's a longer period of time. Then we have in the scripture the day of 40 years. A day as the day of 40 years. And then we have the day of 1,000 years. Or the day of 7,000 years. Also, we have in the Bible a day which might represent a time of 1 year. Or we have time, the word time, which represents 1 year. Also, we find in 2 Peter 3:8 about the day of 1,000 years. There, Peter states that for the Lord a day is as 1,000 years. So I think we all agree that in the scriptures we find three great days of judgment. These three great days of judgment, we are includes also different other judgments. The plan of God, it's a complex plan. So let's start to analyze these three great days of judgment. So, first in the scriptures, we find that the day of judgment, the judgment of Adam. In Genesis 2:16, 17, and 3:19, we read, and Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. So we see that the judgment of the great judge God is being fulfilled since that day, the fact that they were condemned to death. Let's see when it started, that judgment. If this judgment is final, it was finalized, who is the great judge? Who is the judge? When will this judgment be completed? How come that Jesus came, but we see that mankind is still under this judgment? So we'll start with Brother Johann Hosu. Forgive me, I forgot to introduce you, Brother Niku Traian, Niku Iepure from Pecei, and Brother Johann Hosu from Baia Mare. So, Brother Johann, as we learned, the man was created in the Garden of Eden, and God created him with free will. When God created Adam, he gave him this commandment: you can eat of all fruits, trees, of all trees, but thou shalt not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that disobedience was punished by God, and the day of Adamic judgment started at that point. Ever since that point, until our days, the punishment with death keeps its power upon mankind. Brother Nico. So according to Genesis 2:16-17, as it was mentioned already, God pronounced a sentence. So we think in the moment when God pronounced a judgment upon Adam, that's when the day of judgment started, and the personal judgment of Adam, the judgment of Adam, was until the point, lasted until he was thrown out of Eden. But the total completion of his sentence was fulfilled when Adam died. And from that moment on, Adam is the prisoner of God, so to speak, in death. And we see ever since, as this judgment came upon all mankind since the sin of Adam, and its effects are upon mankind until today. So let's see when this judgment is going to end, or how this Adamic judgment will end. If we still see it, it's here. I think that the judgment of Adam ended at his death, but the effects, or we feel the consequences of his judgment until today. We read in Corinthians that the last enemy that shall be destroyed shall be death. And maybe somebody might say, as somebody already asked me, which death? Is there a difference between Adamic death and second death? And we all know that it is a difference. But which end is this scripture talking about? When is the Adamic end gonna end? And we can answer that when the church will be completed, and with our Lord in glory, the Adamic death will stop. Will stop keeping the captives in the grave. But we shall not forget that the effects of the Adamic death will not be ended until the end of the millennium, because a lot of the mankind are captive in the sleep of death, and only at the end of the millennium the grave and the place of death will be destroyed at the end of the millennium. So we might say that the Adamic death might start. So what? So Can we say that the Adamic death ends at the beginning of the millennium and the Adamic judgment stops? Yes, we can say that the Adamic death will end at the beginning of the millennium, but the effects of the Adamic death will end, the consequences will end when the last group of resurrected people will be brought back to life in the millennium. So it means that the effects of the death are included in here, and only when they will be eliminated. I think Romans 15:12 is proper here. As through one man, death, as through one sin, one man and one sin, death came upon the mankind, even so through one man, redemption came. So we can see that through Adam, everything is hereditary. And the whole human race were in Adam's loins as he was judged. And we inherited this sentence and this judgment that will end only when the last person will be brought back from the grave. So if we can express this in time, how long will this last? This judgment period. God, before everything else, God is just. In Psalm 89:14, we read that righteousness and judgments are the foundation of thy throne. The principles of God's judgments are right and righteous. Some of these requirements is of God, it's of blessing is the obedience of his beings towards God. So Adam's blessings were conditioned upon obedience. Disobedience brings a punishment. The Holy Scriptures tells us that the punishment, Adamic punishment, was death. In Romans we read that the punishment of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. We believe that the great judge is Jehovah, the creator, in the case of Adam and Eve. What about the length? If we can determine the length of this Adamic judgment, some may think that 7,000 years, but we're talking about when the effects of Adamic death will be ended. But I personally cannot time exactly when this will end. I know precisely that the judgment of God is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. And I know that at the end of the millennium, our Lord Jesus Christ will give the kingdom in the Father's hands, and he will be the one that will judge. If you want to add something about the length of this day of judgment, Adamic day. In principle, I agree with Brother Yuan, but I want to add that the sin and death came into the world, and once mankind started to multiply, in Romans 5:14, we have the scripture that says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression. And the key of solving this huge problem, death problem, belongs to God, not to us. So we're going to go to a different kind of judgment. Lots of Christians are asking, Christians in name only, we might say, and they might ask, well, Jesus came, he died for us, why we still see people dying? Why is death still upon us? What's the explanation that the judgment, this Adamic judgment, didn't end? Why did Jesus died for us? So I think we go to a different kind of judgment. And I think is the answer to this second question. Of course, the permission of evil was planned by God in himself in order to give all angels and mankind especially a specific lesson. And our Heavenly Father knew about Adamic's fall, and he knew how to plan things in order to bring a wonderful lesson to all the creatures in the universe. But many scriptures, misunderstanding the scriptures and the harmony of the scriptures, which for us is the most wonderful thing to see and realize the harmony of God's plan and of the scripture, that Jesus came, he suffered, died for us, he was resurrected, and he himself said, I am the resurrection, I am the life and the resurrection. And we understand that even if he is the resurrection, the process of death continues, because in the plan of God, he organized and he planned that he wants to choose a class, a special class for him that will be schooled in the same manner as Jesus was schooled in the school of Christ. That's why we read that our Lord Jesus Christ was made perfect through suffering. And the sufferings that were upon Jesus are going to come upon the class that's following him, the church class that started after his death and resurrection. And they are still under the Adamic condemnation as humans and under the death sentence as humans, but they are under a new work, which is a new work. It's the work and judgment of the church, as we can read in John 5:25. Truly, truly, I tell unto you that the hour is coming, and the time has come when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and the ones which will listen to him will be resurrected. So let's talk about this judgment. When did this judgment started, and how long does it last? We know that at the end of Jewish age, the most wonderful guest of our planet came upon this earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the time of his consecration at Jordan River, later on, 3.5 years later, after his death, resurrection, and the Pentecost, a new gospel, a new age started, the gospel age. We know that during this gospel age, the class of the church is being elected for the bridegroom, the bride, the church is being elected. We call this gospel age the age, the spiritual dispensation, so to speak, because the spiritual class is being developed through trial and through judgment, in a way, at the spiritual level, in the spiritual things. Our Lord, as the head of the new creation, entered this judgment in the fall of year 29, when after he was baptized, he came out of Jordan River from the Father's viewpoint. From a different point, if we look upon the church class, we can say that it started for the church in the spring of year 33 after the Pentecost. After the Pentecost day, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the followers of Jesus. And I agree with the answer, Brother Johann Hosu said. So we agree that this day of judgment started with our Lord, the day of the judgment of the gospel age, in a different aspect started with the apostles after the day of the Pentecost, and will be concluded with the completion of the church, when the last member of the church will be taken on the other side of the veil. Why is there a necessity for this class? Why is there a necessity for this judgment? And what are the conditions of this judgment? I didn't mention in the beginning that the consequences of the first judgment was death. And no one was able to justify himself under the Adamic judgment in front of God. But the things changed after the Son of Man came during the second judgment, so to speak. So, Brother Johann, the Church of God was planned in His great design. We see God that after Adam was condemned to death, still God told Adam that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And of course, this seed of the woman is the Church of God, the Bride of Christ. And these are the ones that are elected during Gospel Age, and they are under judgment of God. This judgment during the Gospel Age means a test of obedience. Exactly as Adam was in a test of obedience, in Adam, this class of holy people, of God's people, are under the test of obedience under God. And our Lord called them on this narrow way, on which there are temptations, trials, sufferings. And towards this class is promised, as it was said, unto Abraham, in thee and thy seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Thank you. So, through our Lord Jesus, these called ones might rise out of the Adamic from under the Adamic condemnation, and they might be justified towards a different judgment, spiritual judgment. The question was why this class needs to be judged and under what conditions. As we read in the Word of God, and we can see in His plan is not limited to just a small, restrained class. His plan is not to bless just a little flock, the church, but His blessings are intended for everyone that wants to receive eternal life. As Brother Johann said, even from the Garden of Eden, there was a spark of hope. Through the promise that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And we know that later, Abraham received the special blessing that in him and his seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that seed, Abrahamic seed, I think it is the church class, even though I think that Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, did not realize the spiritual phase, a heavenly phase, but he thought about an earthly inheritors, even though the promise included the stars of heaven and the sand. And I think that the stars of heaven without number represents the spiritual seed. And this class was elected, the stars class was elected to bless the ones that are unelected, the ones that are not elected in the future. Such was the plan of God. Yes, and we will talk about this class that will come later on. But before we reach that point, let's talk about the reward. The reward. What is the reward of this judgment if the faithful ones are proved faithful until the end? And who are these inheritors? Of course, Brother Ivan, of course, when our Lord was walking on this earth, Brother Peter, Apostle Peter, asked our Lord Jesus this question: "Dear Lord, we left everything. What shall be our reward?" Many people don't even ask what's their pay. They just work and work, and whatever they'll get, they'll get. But Peter wants to make sure that he's got some reward. He didn't want to get something small, or so he asked our Lord. Peter was one of the most courageous from among the apostles, and the Lord said, "Well, we left all these things. What shall be our reward?" And we remember that the Lord said that they shall sit on the 12 thrones and they shall judge the 12 seeds of Israel, the 12 tribes. And this was promised to them to be kings and priests with Jesus. When he promised them, "I go to prepare you a place, so wherever I am, you might also come." And of course, the faithful ones will be transferred from human level, from fleshly bodies to spiritual bodies that shall be together with Jesus in the divine glory. And the Epistle of John, we have the words, "And what we shall become, we don't know yet, but we will see him as he is." These saints will have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel, which I think represents the judgment of all mankind, because I think these 12 tribes of Israel, I think it does represent the 12 different kinds of human character, of human behavior. I think I can add here something in regards with the number of this class called the Church of Christ. We have a number in Revelation 7:4, that it's a predestined number as being 144,000. What is the reward of this class? A simpler answer is they are inheritors together with Christ of all things. This is not a small thing. There are many scriptures in this sense, in this way. Revelation 20:6, "They shall be priests and kings of Christ. You made them kings and priests, and they shall inherit, they shall reign upon the earth." Who is the great judge? The great judge is still Jehovah, and he's always the principal judge. But he authorized our Lord Jesus Christ as judge in his place during this period. And we read that Jesus himself says, the Father does not judge anyone, but he gave all the judgment to the Son. So we see God is the great judge, but even in the class of the church, Jesus is God's representative. And through him, this judgment is being done. Even if our Lord Jesus is our older brother, it is through him that this judgment is applied. So if the reward is so great, as the scriptures quoted here proved us, it still means that the conditions in order to receive this reward is different from the original conditions or the previous conditions and terms in the past or maybe future. Apostle Paul, in many of his scripture, he underlines this important aspect. In Colossians, we read, if you die together with Christ, you shall reign together with him. It's not about physical death here. This will be eventually, our physical bodies will die. He mentions also that if somebody died, he overcame sin. If we can die in regards to the old nature, old man, and be renewed in Christ, only here the hard work starts for the true Christian. As our Lord told Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God until you are born again. And being born again is not a process that happens in a twinkling of an eye. It's just the decision to be born again. It is in a moment, taken in a moment to make sure that the old nature is being destroyed and the new life begins. But the process, it's a long and difficult process of applying and killing the old nature and developing the new life. And the apostles eventually were also suffering for Christ, and they rejoiced in this. And I remember about Apostle Paul when he was beaten and thrown in jail, and when he was with Silas in the kingdom, instead of crying for the punishment he got and for the way he was beaten, we read that Paul and Silas started to pray and sing in jail while with their hands and feet chained. And he was rejoicing for the fact that he was considered worthy to suffer for Christ, because whoever suffers with him shall reign with him. Brother Niku, I agree with what Brother Ivan said. What I want to add is, even our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was perfected through suffering. He was always perfect as Logos in his pre-human existence. He was also perfect in his human existence, but he was made perfect through suffering. And we believe that if his narrow way was filled with suffering, we trust that the Heavenly Father saw that even his Son had to be perfected through suffering. Perfection which will be very helpful in future. So how much more his followers, the followers of Jesus, which are not perfect men, have to be tested and subjected to suffering and trials, which must work and develop in their character something extremely special in order to be qualified for the future work that this class will be commissioned with. And there are many aspects that we cannot mention here as well. Also, I want to say that the true followers of Christ have a very difficult work to accomplish, because he didn't give us a law, a simple law, do this, do this, do this, and you fulfilled everything. He wants us to meditate, think, and find from the scripture the will of God, and we should decide and follow the will of God and apply it in our life. And this is not something easy. It's not something black and white, because it depends on circumstances and conditions, and we have to decide what should we do in a certain situation, what should we do in a different situation. And when we are thinking that Satan is given the liberty to test us, to tempt us, to influence our thoughts and minds with different aspects and different suggestions, it's difficult. But we know that we have the Word of God, which is helping us. And from through experiences, and from experience, we learn to choose what is good. I want to add something. Yes, Brother Niku. The necessity of trial of this special class through suffering. We know that the reward, the promised reward, is immortality. A reward that cannot be taken back even by God. So the Son of God humbled himself and proved himself obedient unto the death, unto his death through sufferings. And I think that Heavenly Father wanted to prove to all beings in the universe how great of an obedience his Son has towards him. And if our Lord Jesus Christ was humbled so much and was persecuted so much, him which was perfect and didn't hurt no one, how much more we have to go through sufferings, temptations, and trials in order to inherit this amazing inheritance of immortal life. For a reward to be together with our Lord, in order to be a being that our God can praise with, or can show other beings an example of an obedience, we think that not very many can go through all these fiery trials. And Apostle Paul says that we are made a manifestation for men, people, and angels. Apostle Peter says that all the old prophets were meditating and trying to see what times God had in mind when they were prophesying about Jesus, this great inheritance and this great promise are extremely high. And of course the Heavenly Father will never take back his promise and the immortal life. We can go to a different point, maybe, to another great day of judgment, which is maybe mentioned the most in the scriptures. And I want to read the scriptures from Acts 17:31. God, inasmuch as He, God, hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And because this judgment day is mentioned so many times in the scriptures, I think, is underlined for the fact that this shall bring immense blessings. And I think this will happen after the judgment of the church is complete, but I think it will happen in order to eliminate the Adamic condemnation fully. Who will be the judge or the judges of the world in their judgment time or judgment period? I think that the whole plan belongs to the Father, and all the decisions belong to the Heavenly Father, and He, God, will decide who shall inherit life in eternity. Even our Lord Jesus shall be subjected unto the Heavenly Father at the end. But during the millennial age, during the age of judgment of mankind, all the judgment was given unto His Son. And as we mentioned earlier, our Lord Jesus Christ promised Peter that you shall sit on 12 thrones of judgment. So I think the period of the of judgment the world in the millennial time is reserved and given to our Lord Jesus Christ and His church. And maybe we'll talk a little bit later about different aspects in this judgment time. Brother Nico, if you want to add. In Revelation 20, verse 6, talking about the judgment of the world, for example, we read, "They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with Him 1,000 years. So they will be judges with Christ. They will be judges with Christ for 1,000 years. We know that they will judge according to the righteousness, and God will judge the world through with righteousness through the man Jesus Christ. Of course, in other scriptures we read that the Lord will not be by Himself, but He will be together with His members, with the church class. The number we find it in Revelation 14:1 of as being 144,000. And also we can read in Matthew that when our Lord Jesus Christ will come in His glory with all His holy angels, He shall sit with His saints on His throne of judgment, on His judgment throne. So we think that He will come together with His church, all being on judgment thrones. We understand that the individual judgment for life or death in the millennium will begin after the completion at the church. So the judges in the millennium will be Christ and the church. Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians the following aspects. Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world and the angels? Of course, not the angels that were faithful and loyal to God, but the angels that sinned at the time of the flood shall be judged by the church. And this scripture confirms that the judgment is being given to the Christ, hand and body. If we have time, we'll talk about this aspect of judgment, judgment of the angels. You touched it a little bit. But let's go back to the length of the judgment of the mankind. I think we all agree that this judgment day of the world, it's 1,000 years. Do we have any scriptures that tell us, any scripture that tells us that this judgment day, it's 1,000 years? I think, Brother Nico, you mentioned a scripture. Do you want to repeat? Revelation 20. We see the length of this day, which is 1,000 years. Also, when we think at the day of Adam, which was also 1,000 years, we are thinking at the day of the second Adam, which is also 1,000 years. The day of the first Adam brought death. The day of the second Adam will take away. The day of the second Adam will take away the curse of death. In the evening, the curse and the wrath comes, but the morning brings joy. And as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, shall all be made alive. Scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. So let's talk now about the characteristics of the judgment day, or the way this judgment shall be implemented. What will be the conditions? The conditions, and if we can try to see how will be the millennium judgment. In what conditions, what differences will be. For example, in the future age, if God will just punish mankind just for the past sins, as most Christians believe, God will resurrect the man from somebody from the grave and judge him for his past sins. We'll just have to condemn him and send him back into grave or in punishment. And many Christians are asking us in unbelief, how come everyone shall be resurrected? The righteous one and the unrighteous ones. Of course, the righteous ones that develop their character according to our dear model, Jesus Christ, shall be resurrected and rewarded. The unrighteous ones, they are not resurrected totally in the sense of gaining life. They are just awakened from the death, and they will receive life only if they will gain life at the end of the millennium, if they shall develop and prove worthy. They will be awakened from the sleep of death just to be corrected, helped, developed and changed towards obedience. And only afterwards they'll receive life. Maybe I should go a little bit further back. Back to Adam, when Adam was created as a perfect human being, and in his perfection he was able to be tested in front of God's throne of righteousness. In the second period that we talk, during the gospel age, we know that the ones that are tested are not perfect human beings, and we know that our Heavenly Father, if He would judge imperfect humans, the judgment will be always condemnation. And we know that the Church of God can stay in front of Jehovah's throne of righteousness, can stand up and stand in His presence only through the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers their sin. So now, looking at the millennium, we have to understand that God prepared the conditions in such a way so He might be merciful towards all His beings through Christ, head and body. He planned all the mechanisms and conditions for God to judge the mankind through this special class that was prepared through sufferings and was the church class was prepared in such a way so they can be merciful and they can be mediators between mankind that will be brought to life to millennium and God, Heavenly Father. So in other words, the mediator will be Christ, head and body. I want to give you an advice. Don't get old, because I'm getting older and I forgot an aspect, and I want to bring that aspect to your attention. Our Heavenly Father planned for Satan to be bound in this millennium, in this judgment day of the world. Some might say, well, shouldn't we just do whatever we want today, and we should turn back to God and obey Him only in that period when Satan will be bound? And I always say, no. Today there is a special calling for the ones that can hear the calling, God's calling. Somebody might say, well, if Satan will not be there to deceive them, it might be so easy for others. But what do we find in the plan of God? We find that at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be let loose in order to test the ones that obey God out of their heart desire and from obedience. As we cannot judge a little child fully and completely for everything, we can judge them after they became an adult, and we can judge them. In the same way, our Heavenly Father will bind Satan, and only at the end of the millennium will be a judgment, complete judgment of mankind. The righteousness will be the one that will prevail in this judgment of the millennial day. We can read in Psalm 98:9, He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Psalm 98:9. And we read in other scriptures that He shall bring every act to judgment. So the judgment will be made in righteousness, in other words. God's judgments are not accepted today, but by most of mankind, because they don't understand His judgments. But in the future, His judgment will be made in righteousness. So the fallen mankind today cannot understand and they cannot see God's judgment. So in the future, the judgment will not be according to somebody's face or richness or through other influences, but will be made in righteousness by our Heavenly Father. What will be the final result? What will be the final result of this judgment day? Does the scripture talk about these final results? Brother Nelo Hosu? we see that today most Christians that read the Bible don't understand the final result of God's judgment upon mankind. We read in Psalm 64, because you listen to the prayers, all men shall come unto you. Many Christians try to apply God's judgment today, saying that most people are going in heaven or hell. Others are saying that Christians go to heaven and others might go to heaven after 1,000 years. In Psalm 72, we read about the righteous king that will have mercy upon the children of the poor. Psalm 72:4, he shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor.
Something that was not mentioned, the law of the judgment day. What law will be in effect? We talked about the length of that day. In that day, it will not be said the children have eaten something sour and their teeth will be set on edge. Whoever will eat the sour thing, their teeth will be set on edge. In Jeremiah 31:30 or Ezekiel 18:4 and 20, the soul that's in it shall die. From 20 to 24, verse 20 to 24, it says, do I desire the death of the sinners? I do not desire their death, but I desire rather their repentance so they will live. We can say that as a result, the result of this judgment day, the result of applying these laws Isaiah 65:20, whoever will die 100 years old will be destined as a sinner, and whoever will die 100 years old will be considered young. Who will die at 100 years old will be cursed as sinner. What do we understand through this verse? That this is taking place during the millennial kingdom. We believe that God, in His great love, will have a lot of patience with those who will be resurrected. And the trials and the tests that will come upon each individual will be tests of obedience to the laws of God. As we mentioned before, that Satan will be bound. And someone can say, we will not have problems anymore. It's so easy to gain eternal life. There will be no opposition at all. So I want to discuss a little different aspect, the aspect of responsibility of the present life, in the present life. Whoever in the present life degrades themselves should not think that he will not suffer the consequences, the repercussions. Every individual, wherever he dies, as it says in Ecclesiastes, wherever the tree falls, there it will stay. There's no progress. When someone is in the grave, there's no progress. Whoever degraded themselves very much, it's at that point that they will come back to life. That's why Jesus said that it will be easier in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than in the cities where he preached and performed a lot of miracles, Tyre and Sidon. If the miracles were made in other cities, they would have repented. And it says in the following verses, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Those cities were judged very fast. There were not many miracles. At the resurrection from that, people will come back with the character that they went to sleep with. In Daniel 12, that is shown as a sleep. Many of those who sleep in the dirt will come back, will be awoken to life. And those who lived in sin and delighted in sin, in Matthew 13:6-7, people will be responsible, will have to give an account for all the words they said. That's why we do not encourage anyone. Brother Russell, in his thoughts in Volume 4, if people would repent, there will not be a need for the great time of trouble. But the fact that they are becoming more and more evil, there is a need that the great trouble will prepare the world for the seeds of the new age. One more verse in Acts 3:23. Whoever will not listen to that prophet will be destroyed from among the people. Or in Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats, he will put the sheep at the right, the goats at the left. We know that this being a parable, the sheep and the goats are different classes of people. Some are put in a state of favor, and others in a state of unfavor, disfavor. The last test will be at the end of the millennium when Satan will be let loose. And those who have learned the law of God and the love of God, they will be able to go successfully through this test and receive eternal life, but the others will be destroyed in the second death. If you have anything else to add regarding these things, otherwise we want to talk a little bit about other judgments. The scripture mentions multiple judgments. The principles of judgment are the same as in the day of judgment of Adam. It will be the results will be either life or death. But due to the experience that mankind has learned during the experience with the evil, no one will die in that day for Adam's sin, but they will die for their own. We would like to end with this third day of judgment. We talked about Adam's judgment that continues until today. And then we talked about the judgment of the church and the judgment of the world. We mentioned the judgment of the fallen angels, what can we say? When is that taking place, the judgment of the angels, the fallen angels? And what is the law used in the judgment? If we search the Word of God, we find understanding about some difficult things in the Scriptures. We did not talk about the judgment of the nations. That's a different judgment in which we are found today. The judgment of the nations is a period in which God examines or puts in front of the people the inability, it shows the people their inability to govern themselves, both the religious systems, the financial systems. They are not able to govern themselves for eternity. People try, especially those in power, they try to continue. There's some progress, but at the end, everything will be destroyed in anarchy. The judgment of the nations will take place, and after Isaiah 24, the judgment of the angels will take place in our period. Which angels? Those who sinned at the flood. These angels, they were bound, close up, and we find that those who were disobedient were in chains. But some of the angels that he found, Lord Jesus found in the gatherings, they said, "Let us go in this flock of pigs. Let us go from these people into the pigs." And they asked that they will not be sent out of that land, that territory, that region. Our Lord asked them, "How many are you? And they said, "A legion." This is a difficult thing to understand. Why did they ask those three questions? "Do not torture us before our time," they said. Some of the angels, I thought, not all the brethren think like me, like Paul says in one place, but some of the angels who sinned at the flood are judged during the Armageddon. And the others who reigned with Satan during the Jewish age and the gospel age will be judged at the end of the millennium. Maybe it's a new thought for you, and I want you to receive it only if you find it to be in harmony with the scriptures. In Daniel, we find that an angel was sent to Daniel with his angel, and he was blocked in the way, Gabriel tells Daniel that it wasn't an earthly army that stopped him, but it was something in the air, something unseen that was trying to block him. They are trying to block the plan of God to be fulfilled. That's why Paul says we don't have to fight against the flesh and the blood, but against the powers in heavenly places. After Isaiah 24, we are told that they will be caught and put in chains, and after a long time they will be punished. And those who reign with Satan now, they will be destroyed at the end of the millennium. Their judgment is not two times, just once, either during Armageddon or some at the end of the millennium. We have some verses in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and Jude 6. Jude 6, it says, he kept for judgment in, and the ages which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. In Genesis 6, Apostle Paul refers to this about Jesus, and but referring to Genesis, Peter mentions in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also suffered once for death, for sins. He, the righteous one, to bring us to God. He was killed in the body, but resurrected in the spirit. He was killed as a human being, but he was resurrected as a spiritual being. And it continues in the state, in spiritual state. He went to preach to the spirits in prison that were judged a long time ago, during the days of Noah, when the ark was built. We see that the origin of these fallen angels is in the days of Noah, when they were influenced by Satan, and a great number of them, thinking that they are doing well, they materialized and wanted to help God to bring up the race of Adam. But that was not God's plan. God's purpose. And maybe Brother Gitza will ask us about this. But we believe that we need to talk about the judgment of these angels. A brother mentioned in his discourse that the judgment of the angels is taking place now. And he mentioned that it is done upon the minds of the believers. They are supervised. The believers are being supervised. Or in the measure that they are informed, our Lord sent them a message that he died for them also, for the fallen angels. And they fell because they were deceived. And there's a chance for them. The first thing that Jesus did after his resurrection was to send them a message. And they were not allowed to return in heaven. But he sent them the message that he also died for them. And in the future, there will be a judgment day for them. When they will be able to return, if they will be stay away from sin and from collaborating with Satan. And we live in those days now when they are being supervised, the fallen angels, and the judge is looking at them carefully to see how are they being influenced or how do they try to deceive the world, the church? Or do they really repent and are they sorry for what they fell from obedience? We have a unity in diversity. We have different thoughts in regards to some things that are not very explicit in the Bible. But we do have the right to think and to research. But our time is up. I would like to mention that for me, for me, these fallen angels, angels, fallen angels, are being tried today. They were bound because they're not able to materialize again until the time, the judgment day. Like brother said, in this day of judgment, their fate is being decided. Only Satan will be unbound at the end to tempt the world. The time is over. I wanted to talk about other judgments also, but maybe another time. We thank the brethren, the translators, for their effort, because we spoke fast. And may the Lord bless us so we can rejoice at His truth revealed in the scriptures.